Can you just pause for 1 second? Do we have to allow this to continue?
I'm almost done.
No, I'm sorry. I asked a question of my city attorney.
I would allow this to finish.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Whew, that's good, because I got a lot more to say today. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, welcome to our top stories this hour to The Big Lead. And we do have a shocking and disturbing story. The rest of the country is probably going to be talking about this tomorrow. The rest of the media will be talking about it in a few hours. But we have details on a grisly crime that also indicates how horrible our mental health and protecting women system is around here. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
A trusted source has given us details on a murder that happened in Shoreline yesterday. And just because of the details of this murder, it's undoubtedly going to be a national story even. The reason we share these details is because we've got a mental health crisis. You know, as I mentioned a couple of hours ago, Alexander J., the homeless, mentally ill, career criminal who threw a woman down three flights of stairs at a Sound Transit train station. How are guys like that allowed to be walking around? He then stabbed another woman, a different woman, 10 times the same day. A judge says, we have to pay Alexander J. $250 a day. If you don't know that story, I'll get back to that in a minute. But here's another story that shows the deterioration of our mental health system and also just protecting women in distress. There was a murder in Shoreline yesterday. The accused is going to appear in court in a half hour, and the rest of the media will get the information then. But we can tell you what we know about the Shoreline murder. King County Sheriffs went to a condo in Shoreline yesterday for a welfare check. A mother had a restraining order on her 29-year-old son, but she ended up letting the son live with her. So yesterday, King County Sheriffs went for this welfare check, and what they found was absolutely horrifying. The 29-year-old son had killed his mother, but he also tortured her and beheaded her. He cut her ears off and put her head in the freezer. Now, this mother had a restraining order against her son, but she ended up letting him live with her. And too often, you know, whether it's an abusive partner or an abusive child, because there are so many parents who allow their adult children to live with them because they're afraid, well, they're going to die out on the streets. And that parental instinct is that I will suffer. I will put up with the torment and hell of letting somebody who's mentally ill or horribly drug addicted live with me, because there just aren't any options. If they're out on the street, then they're going to be killed. Now, we don't know, and we'll never know, this mother's reasoning for letting the son in. But when we have a state where our mental health system is so broken. As I said, Western State Hospital was decertified a few years ago because Jay Inslee had neglected it, completely neglected it, because it wasn't a climate change issue. So, you know, and then this Alexander Jay guy violently throws a woman down three flights of stairs, fractures ribs, fractures her collarbone, you know, pries her hands off the railing as she was trying to stop being thrown down another flight of stairs, starts stomping her head at the bottom of the stairs. This guy's a known career criminal. He's obviously a mentally ill guy. So a judge says at his first arraignment that we, the taxpayers, have to send him for mental health treatment to see if they can get him competent enough to stand trial. And there were no beds. So then another sick King County judge says, well, since he was ordered to get mental health treatment, since the taxpayers haven't yet provided mental health treatment, taxpayers, you have to pay Alexander J. $250 a day. You know how many good blue-collar, hard-working people I know who don't make $31 an hour, which is what a $250 a day is? You know how many I know? Good, honest, hard-working, tax-paying, contributing citizens. But according to a judge, we, the taxpayers, have to give this guy, whose mental illness was very possibly, likely, caused by his own choices of addiction and drugs. And then, you know, it's up to $10,000 and counting that Alexander J. is going to get as a payoff for stabbing a woman 10 times and throwing another woman down 3 flights of stairs. Now, that tells you how broken the system is around here. And that a mother who sought a restraining order against her son, that this guy can fall through the cracks. But remember, even if police show up at a residence like that and see somebody inside, even if they have outstanding warrants, police are so limited in what they can do these days because what Democrats in the legislature have done, they have to back off. In the past, police, if they saw somebody with outstanding warrants, they could, you know, break down the door and snatch that person up. Now, we've tied the cops' hands. We don't have any mental health treatment. And now a mother in Shoreline, tortured, ears cut off, beheaded, her head put in the freezer. This is unconfirmed. As I said, I trust our source. But law enforcement, as of yet, has not confirmed it. But I think details on this crime are coming out in about an hour. And it's once again going to shock this region and shock the country and shock the world. The level of depravity and the lack of our politicians to deal with, so much of the mental illness is caused by drugs. We got Supreme Court. We got prosecutors. We got all kinds of people who have legalized drugs, every drug, meth and heroin. I mean, drugs that ruin the brain, that bring on mental illness. And we've allowed this. Drugs are legal in Washington, thanks to the Supreme Court. Drugs have been legal in King County for years, thanks to the prosecutor. And all of them said the same thing. Well, what we were doing wasn't working. The war on drugs wasn't working. That era was a utopian paradise compared to the dystopian hell that exists in this region. And all these people who told me, came on this show when they were legalizing drugs, said, well, Dory, clearly what we were doing wasn't working. When you look at what this region is now compared to what it was back in the not working days, it just shows the absolute failure of people in leadership here. So we'll have more on this story, I'm sure, later this afternoon after this character, this 29-year-old son, appears in court. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
There have been at least a couple now Catholic churches that have been vandalized, one church worker who has been assaulted. And who's doing the vandalizing and the assaulting? Left-wing pro-abortion extremists. It's happening around the region now. In Bellevue, a Catholic church was vandalized, and that's where an employee was assaulted. Another one has happened in Burien. This is a Burien church member telling Fox 13.
And it's sad because it's going to get worse. It's actually going to get worse the way I look at it.
And people say what politicians always give lip service to. It's time to heal, move forward.
The country has to heal. The country has to heal and it has to accept things that have occurred and move forward.
And in Bellevue, the father at that Catholic church, Gary Zender, tells Cairo 7 this.
A lot of people are hurting, including this man who did this. So just on the human level, I connect with that struggle.
Okay. I know we're never supposed to criticize priests. I don't understand that response. I connect with this vandal. He's hurting. He's hurting. Why? Because there was a Supreme Court ruling that said abortion is a state's rights issue, and it affects absolutely zero here in Washington State. This guy's not hurting. This guy is a criminal who is using this issue so that he can carry out some hatred. And that's exactly what it is. Bellevue PD captain.
It definitely fits the category of a hate crime.
Okay, so it's a hate crime. They spray painted the Virgin Mary at this church.
It's a sacred place, definitely. And then, and people come here to really encounter peace and the presence of God. And this feels the opposite of that.
And like I said, it's not just property crimes.
He took one of the cans of spray paint and actually spray painted the person in the face and on the shirt and on the side of the head.
Spray painted the face of a church worker. So here's what I want to know. Is Jay Inslee denouncing left-wing extremist hate? Is Patty Murphy denouncing left-wing extremist hate? Is Pamela Jayapal denouncing left-wing extremist hate? No, I haven't heard any of that. In fact, what they're all doing is they're just trying to get people riled up.
We are at risk here. We ought to be like Paul Revere saying the Republicans are coming. They introduced 40 bills this year to take away a woman's right of choice. This year in Olympia, in our blessed state, we cannot allow them to take over our state.
It's like Paul Revere. The Republicans are coming. Oh, so this is a war. According to Jay Inslee, this is somehow analogous to the United States fighting off the Brits. So in your call to war, Jay Inslee, you got a bunch of your left-wing extremist nuts spray painting church workers in the face. Are you going to denounce that? Because you may recall that whenever somebody who's characterized as a right-wing extremist, they always ask Donald Trump the same question.
From the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. Do you want to call him? What do you want to call him? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
white
supremacists.
Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Look, they asked him. They demanded that he denounce it.
You were asked point blank to denounce white supremacy. In the moment, you didn't. You asked some follow-up questions. Who specifically? A couple of days later, on a different show, you denounced white supremacy.
No,
my question to you is,
you've done this to
why
me
does
and everybody,
it seem like...
I denounce white supremacy, okay?
Okay. So that was the rap, always from the media. Donald Trump, do you denounce right-wing extremism? Why doesn't the media ask Jay Inslee if he denounces left-wing extremism? Because Jay Inslee wants the left-wing extremist vote when he runs for president again. And then when he gets 0% of Democratic support once again, he runs for governor again. That's why they don't ask him that. And that's why when Jay Inslee was asked about Chaz Chop, I haven't heard about that. When he had 2 days of security briefings about it, because he wouldn't denounce a left-wing extremist domestic terror takeover of 6 blocks of Capitol Hill in the East Precinct. He hadn't even heard about it. Where's the rest of the media that has access to these guys? Jay Inslee won't talk to me anymore because I ask these types of questions. He just talks to friendly media. But why doesn't the friendly media ask those questions? Ask him to denounce this. Because Jay Inslee, his rhetoric, his hate-filled rhetoric over that Supreme Court decision is what has fired up these left-wing extremists who are vandalizing churches.
We have to face the reality. This is not the end of this effort to protect the values of Washington State. It is the beginning of an assault on the values of Washington State.
Oh, if it's an assault, then you got to fight fire with fire, right, Jay? You calling on your left-wing extremists to do what when you say this is an assault? Pamela Jayapal, maybe she'll tone down the rhetoric.
The rage that I feel and that
women and really men as well, families across the country, pregnant people across the country feel this is so out of step with where the country is today.
I wonder if Pamela Jayapal is being asked to denounce left-wing extremism that's vandalizing churches. How about Patty Murphy?
Republican leaders and the pro-life groups have already made clear they're not stopping here. Okay. They want a federal ban on abortion. And if they get the votes in Congress to do that, my state, my the women I represent, people I represent here will lose that right. We have got to fight back.
Ooh, we've got to fight back. How are you doing that? Smashing windows, spray painting people in the face, spray painting the Virgin Mary? My point is that, you know, Donald Trump being accused of riling up people on the right. You don't think that Jay Inslee and Patty Murphy and Pamela Jayapal do the same thing? They work up rage for their supporters. But the only difference is when one side does it, the politician is always asked, do you denounce this? When it's Inslee and Jayapal and Murphy, they're never asked, do you denounce this? Because they want those votes. They get the people all worked up. They use the exact same rhetoric as the person they hate, Donald Trump. They use the exact same type of rhetoric. And then you wonder, you know, like at the national level.
You see this turnout here? You ain't seen nothing yet. Women are going to control their bodies no matter how they try and stop us. The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them. We will be out by the thousands. We will be out by the millions. We're going to make sure we fight by the right to control our own bodies.
Sounds like an insurrection to me, isn't it? Sitting Congresswoman Maxine Waters, to hell with the Supreme Court. What about our system of checks and balances? What about having a judicial and executive and a legislative branch? And they're supposed to provide checks and balances. But no, if you lose on any one of those, to hell with them. Let's fight back. These are politicians who are every bit as dangerous as the politicians that they denounce on a regular basis. And their supporters are carrying out their wishes. And so I will publicly ask Jay Inslee, Jayapal, Patty. I do that to stop the texts from coming in. Do you denounce this? Do you denounce the hatred of left-wing extremism? I'm guessing I'm going to get silence in return. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I love the texters.
Hey, my name's...
Never mind. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then what the homeless are doing to our most pristine wildlife areas is absolutely shocking. Here in our region. Details on that and much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh man, you want another example of what's going on the streets around here? Four little girls down in Tacoma. They got a Christmas gift. It's like a little pop-up lemonade stand. 13-year-old Leah Sleeper, 10-year-old Zaylani Juarez, 6-year-old Layla DeWitt, and 6-year-old Gabriella Sleeper. They set it up on Sunday. It was only the second time they'd set up their lemonade stand. Now, I will tell you, I have a particular... It's really tough for me right now because I used to never go past a lemonade stand without buying something. I'd usually give them like $5 because when I was a kid... Growing up on the main streets of Ballard, I would set up a lemonade stand at the end of my block. And people on the way to Golden Gardens would stop. And, occasionally somebody would give us a dollar when we were asking. I think 10 cents is what we were asking. And it was, oh, man, that was so exciting. So I tend to stop at most lemonade stands as an adult. And I try to give them, a little more than they expect. problem? I'm like most Americans. I don't carry any cash anymore. I never, ever have cash on me. So I've not been able to stop at lemonade stands. But anyway, I love the kids who are out there, you know, just trying to make a couple bucks. I've always said, been a big fan of that. So anyway, a guy reaches behind the stand and steals $80 from these four girls on Sunday. And this is 10-year-old Zelani Juarez.
And he reached his hand in the register and grabbed all of our big bills and ran off into a blue SUV across the street.
Cairo News Radio's Darren Dito talked to these adorable girls. And what did the man do? Did he feel guilty when he stole 80 bucks from four little girls?
It made me super mad because he did it with a huge smile on his face and just ran off giggling into the car.
How soulless. How absolute. And I know all the crimes on the street are horrible, but how soulless to then laugh as you're running away from a girl's lemonade stand.
Maybe just like that was super rude of you to do that because, you know, we're just kids. We didn't do anything to you that made you want to like rob us.
This girl said she's 10. Nicole. Darren Dito did a great job interviewing her and getting us these sound. I want to talk to her. Can we get her tomorrow?
Sure. I'll try.
I would love to. She's adorable.
Yes, she is.
And there's her cousin, Layla DeWitt. Let's see, how old's Layla here? Layla is 6 years old.
So it made me super mad that it hurt my sister, that it hurt my cousin's feelings. And a lot of people were really sad for her. And so I comforted her.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, let's get these girls on. I want to talk to them now. Yeah, okay. And we'll see if we can help them out a little bit. We'll see if we can get them tomorrow. Okay, there's another story that's going on. People are seeing fewer homeless on the streets, but they're not going into housing. They're not going in for treatment. They're not going to jail. They're going into the woods, and they are destroying some of the most pristine wetland areas in King County. Our friend Jonathan Cho, who works for the Discovery Institute, he's a senior fellow and journalist at the Discovery Institute now. He's been working on a piece where he's been documenting with video what's going on in the woods of King and Bears and Snohomish and Kitsap, I mean, all around here. And what's happening is there are huge encampments. There's needles everywhere. They're next to pristine rivers and creeks and defiling them. Here's Jonathan a couple hours ago. Tell my listeners what you are discovering.
Yeah, well, it started off with that question, right, Dory? Where are all the homeless going from Seattle? Well, in fairness, some are taking the shelter referrals and services that these outreach groups are offering after these encampment clearings on the highways now and a lot of these public ways in Seattle. But many are now also retreating into heavily wooded areas. And that's why I launched this two-part series just this week called Hidden Crisis in the Woods. And it's been absolutely eye-opening. There are encampment communities in multiple wooded areas in Seattle, in King County, and in unincorporated King County. And it is really causing unintended consequences, not only for the neighbors and business owners who live around these wooded areas, but the environmental impact, just trash, needles, drug use, essentially all the problems that are associated with a lot of these homeless encampments in the city. They're now in these wooded areas. And on top of that, the conditions the homeless people are now living in these places.
Yeah, this isn't compassion. You know, all the activists say, no sweeps. And what I've said all along is we need to either, and first and foremost, provide treatment, get them drug counseling and mental health treatment and hopefully job training. And if they won't accept that, there should be jail. But we can't keep allowing people. And we've got all these politicians who are, you know, say they care about the planet, they care about Mother Earth. Jay Inslee's the big climate change guy, but here's what's happening in our woods.
Stolen bikes, stolen cars, just being, you know, chopped up and sold for parts, also for who knows what else. And again, a lot of these associated problems, the drug use, the criminal activity, the fires while the home is trying to stay warm, you know, they're causing fires in these forests. Spoke to Puget Sound Regional Fire. And on top of going there for these fires, they're dealing with emergencies like ODs. And it's so difficult. You got to consider this. This is the biggest difference, Dory. Going into these wooded areas, it is tough terrain. It's essentially like hiking. You and I have both been hiking. We have to put on our boots. It's muddy. And you have these firefighters, first responders going up there regularly now. That's causing a whole mess of different types of problems.
And it is a hell on earth. And politicians and activists say that they're being compassionate by just allowing this, by tolerating this. And there's nothing compassionate about it. And then one other thing. A few weeks ago, Dow Constein announced that he wants a huge tax increase so King County can acquire more open green space. But Dow Constein won't even protect the open green space that we have. And after I talked to Jonathan Cho 2 hours ago, I got so many texts from you. People who live next to green belts or work next to green belts, and they see these huge encampments. And it's just sick that Dow Constein wants to raise taxes to acquire more green space because he says it's necessary to protect our pristine King County. But he allows criminals to absolutely destroy the environment on the green space we already have. It's absolutely shameful. Okay, when we come back, we will count down our favorite sound bites of the day as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we are not done because we have a great batch today. Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Oh, let's start with our president. Old Joe is at it again. So he is talking about trying to ramrod through abortion legislation and not allow it to be a state's issue as the Supreme Court has ruled. He wants it to once again be a federal issue. And he says, if we have to eliminate the filibuster to make that happen, then by gumbo, that's the way Joe talks. That's what we're going to do.
Most important thing to be clear about is we have to change. I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law. And the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights. It should be. We provide an exception for this. Require an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision.
So Joe Biden wants to eliminate the filibuster. I'm sure glad this is one issue he's consistent on.
Ending the filibuster is a very dangerous thing to do because it's been used by progressives our whole time.
Wait a second. It's very dangerous, and it's something that he needs to do. Oh, that's the consistent mind. Yeah, that's a oxymoron when you're talking about Joe Biden. Also, today he's in Madrid. He has a little trouble between Switzerland and Sweden.
We got the telephone. He suggested we call the leader of Switzerland. My goodness. I'm getting really anxious here about expanding NATO. Sweden.
Okay, yeah, it happens. And then he was asked how long you and I should pay for Putin's war at the gas pumps.
How long is it fair to expect American drivers and drivers around the world to pay that premium for this war?
As long as it takes. So Russia cannot, in fact, defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine.
As long as it takes. We'll just keep paying $6 a gallon, maybe $7, maybe $8 by the end of summer. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Well, he doesn't know. He has no clue what's happening. And then at the end of his press conference this morning, he asked a couple of questions of pre-selected reporters because he cannot answer questions on the fly, so they could prep him for the answers. And then they tried to ask him a couple of questions at the end. Joe, take it away.
All right, guys. No, there's no such thing as a quick one. I'm out of here.
There's no such thing as a quick one. Dave Rubin at The Blaze, he has put together a fantastic debate on what rights and control we should have over the human body. And the two debaters are Whoopi Goldberg versus Whoopi.
I don't want to force anybody. I don't want anybody coming in my house telling me how to raise my daughter and what she needs because they don't know.
Well, you know, it's my rights. Okay. But I don't care. I will tell you, this is my body. And nobody, you know, you got people telling me I got to wear a mask or don't wear a mask or do this. Everybody wants to tell me what to do, but you won't let me make my decision about my body. You are not the person to make that decision. My doctor and myself and my child, that's who makes the decision. We need to do this, and it's not going to allow us to be without masks. Until we all do it, because quite frankly, I'm not going outside until I know everybody outside has had the shot. When you tell me what I need to do with my doctor and my family, how dare you? How dare you tell us what to do? Well, put a damn mask on, because you know I'm sick of talking right. about your rights. Let's talk about my rights. My rights are as important to me as yours are to you. I don't want to get sick. Put a bloody mask on, man. Girl, please stop talking.
Please do, girl. Okay, finally, January 6th, that Cassidy Hutchinson, the lies that were told a couple days ago because the Democrats thought, oh, now we finally got Trump. This is interesting. They've released her prep interview, her preview interview, when she sat down with the January 6th panel to preview what she was going to testify. And here's what was said.
I was in the vicinity of a conversation where I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here. Let the people in.
I was in the vicinity and said something to the effect of, well, those aren't phrases normal human beings use. I was in the vicinity of, and somebody said something to the effect of. So on Jesse Waters, he noticed that that same phrase popped up constantly during her testimony.
Responded something to the effect of, we're going to the Capitol. Said something to the effect of, there's a lot going on, Cass. Mr. Cipollone said something to the effect of, the president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president. He said something to the effect of, he's really ticked off about this.
Do you think maybe she was coached so she could tell lies and then, if put on trial for perjury, say, oh no, I didn't say he said that. I said he said something to the effect of. Those are our favorite sound bites of the day, and I got to get out of here. The John Carley and Sherry Ellicker show is coming up next. John might be off today. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, John Carley, my buddy. All right. God bless you in these crazy times. I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. High noon.